film, the official section, La Isla Mínima, Marshland. And we've got with us the director, Alberto Rodríguez, the actors and actresses, Raúl Arévalo, Antonia de la Torre, Nerea Barros, and Jesús Castro, and the producers, Mercedes Gamero, José Antonio Félez, and Gervasio Iglesias. And please, photographers, finish taking your photos. They're all eagerly awaiting your first question, which is in the front row. Please, can we have a microphone here in the front row? Thank you very much.
Tenemos aquí una pregunta y atrás justo otra.
Here's a question and there's another one at the back. Please. Above all, first thing, congratulations for the film. I liked it very much. And it could have been the opening day film, opening night film. What you've wanted to do is to make a portrait of the police, the Spain, and the police in Spain, which was very corrupt way back in the past, but continued to operate with the people on the other side of the river, that is, with the governments of the Socialist Party and the actors and the actresses, Spanish actors and actresses. You've all played an incredible role. There are other people that do that. How long do Spanish actors are going to be famous internationally from Spanish, not Antonio Banderas or Javier Bardem, you yourselves, not abroad, but in Spanish films? What do you have to do to become and make it big in Spanish film? Okay, good morning, everyone. The film, what we tried to do is to make a film with who did it, a suspense film, and the underground level, shall we say, talks about the 1980, which was a very tense year because the country was being defined at that period. Democracy had just begun then, and now it talks about the collision which takes place through the investigation or the inquiry of a policeman who comes from the previous regime of having worked through the dictatorship, and the other policeman who's very new, has a new air to things, and is renovating that Raúl plays. I don't want to be too ambitious to reflect what the police did subsequently, or any type of story which is outside the year 1980. I didn't understand what you said about actors. You referring? I'm sorry, we can't hear the questioners. I'm sorry, we can't hear the question. He's now talking without a microphone. I don't know what it is to make it and make it big in films. I think all of the examples that you're giving us, I'm sure that one of the things that Alberto's films has is to make films with an identity. And Victoria De Sica, who was very Italian, but who was also very universal. And I think that making films like this, which is a quality film, and telling our stories at a local level, they can become very universal. And I think that's a secret, but to not to think about making it or not making it big or not. I think it's a film that can be sold to anyone and can be enjoyed throughout the world. Somebody, there was a girl that asked for a question just in the back, at the back there. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I would like to ask Alberto, you say that you focused upon the transition period, but which is this historical background, but in 1980, Spain was completely divided, going through a change process. I would like to ask you whether you were writing the script, whether you reflected upon that the Spain of 1980 is very similar to the current day Spain, and in what sense have you dealt with this in the script or when you shot the film? Well, mainly we chose 1980 because we saw two documentaries of the Bartolomé brothers, Atado Bien Atado and No Se Puede Dejar Solo. These are two documentaries where they shoot the transition period into the democracy, but they are edited during the transition period. There's no historical filter there, therefore. It's like a fresco of that period, but everyone in the street, everybody, we thought that was very interesting at that time, and also there was a lot of concomitance with the time that we were writing the script in 2011. In the 1980s, there was a great economic crisis, the territorial definition. There was a great open discussion and debate vis-à-vis this issue. And there were also problems with laws, that of abortion, for example, which was just starting to then. And just when we were writing the script, that was being discussed as well. So there was a feeling of sort of like a mirror image vis-à-vis that period. But what that confrontation, social political confrontation, was a type of underground river that underlies the film. The first, the main thing is the plot, and then the investigation that the public is going to be able to follow. But that's the mechanism we use, which increases the tension, that underground river, which delves back to the year 1980. Yes, we can hear him. I don't know to what extent you would say that the film is pessimistic or is realistic, because at the end, the mystery is resolved, but there's a bit of ambiguity, a margin for ambiguity to resolve the mystery, because I'm not too sure about the landlord, the man with the hat. The landowner, he doesn't receive his punishments. He seems to be above the law. And then the past of the character of Javier Gutiérrez in the last sequence, when Raúl rips up the photos that he's given, it gives you the feeling that there are things that, no matter how much you investigate them, they're going to remain the same. They're going to remain over time. That is to say, things have to be changed for things to continue the same. I'm not too sure. I don't know whether that reflecting that historical moment, which has driven you to these moral ambiguity scenarios or scenes that you close a film. Moral ambiguity, that field, as a field of work, I think we'd seen it in other films and used it in other films, and I'm sure it's always used as raw material for films. But the mechanism, shall we say, that we tried to show in the film is that when we finishes, the viewers or the public has to ask themselves a question. We don't have the answer. So the question you're asking me, I can't give you an answer to it. I can't solve it. That was the idea of the film. Let's reflect upon this and this period. And that's for the public that read it that way. Others will read the film in the fact that it's a criminal investigation, and that's it. And I think the film maintained suspense, which was the idea at the end of the day, to make a genre film vis-à-vis the audience. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask the director. I take a note, congratulations on the ambience and the atmosphere that you created, to see that in Spain, and there is also a Louisiana, for example, just like it says American films. That surprised me enormously, and I congratulate you for it. Also, would like to know, what do you think, not of comparisons, but of many references of the we people, the audience that's seeing the film, vis-a-vis films and series like True Detective, Memories of Marduk, even Seven, for example, or Mississippi Burns, and then Javier Gutiérrez is not here, but I would like to know what you thought when you read the script and you saw characters of this nature, because these are really, it's like a sweet lolly or a sweet candy, these types of roles. I'm a fan of Alberto's films, and I'd read the script conditioned by the thinking that I could be in a film of Alberto's film. I'm a fan of these types of films. I'm a big fan of Mississippi Burns or these types, or Seven, or Filters, or Memories of Mardel, for example, that Alberto had for this film. And to see myself in a film like this, it fills my ego as an actor. I remember when I went to the video club in Móstoles, in my neighborhood, and I rented films like that. And to see films like with Reins and with a gun in my hand, I might sound frivolous, but to dream with this excited me very much. So therefore, and there with a solid script like this, Rafael Cobos and Alberto, to be able to participate in this film, and we rehearsed and worked upon very much, and colleagues such as Javi, which is a pity he's not here because he's got a play that he's acting in, but to share 2 months, very hard work for 2 months, but to make a film of this nature was a true gift from heaven. So therefore, and I was premeditated that I was going to like it, but I liked it even more to make the film than I thought before reading the script. That's my opinion. And as regards to the reference of True Detective, I was setting up the film, I was editing the film, and I thought it was a photo of Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson with Raoul sent it. And they said they copied us because they were wearing a jacket and a tie like we did. And he said they copied us. And he said, I said, what's that about? No, there's a series which is called True Detective and so on and so forth. That's the first moment that I was aware of the fact of that it could have been similar to True Detective. It was shot in September, October and November 2013. True Detective was premiered in January 2014. It was impossible that it were us unless we had some correct contact there or some of... or was something paranormal, the truth. And when we were shooting, I didn't know that area of the marshlands. Javier and I, we didn't know it. And I said, it's as if we were in Mississippi. And when I saw True Detective, I said, it's incredible. And then it has nothing to do with it. But I said, well, God save us. Both of them writing down notes, and me, just as good looking as Matthew McConaughey. So many coincidences. It was a real coincidence. But I saw 3 minutes of the series because I started to see it. I saw a shot from the air in the car, and I said, well, this could be a coincidence. And then there's a moment, and I saw one of the two brought out and started to draw it on a notepad. I said, that can't be. I'm not going to see anymore. And I stopped. I have not seen the series. Yes, I'm waiting for all of this to go by and to forget about it. I'm going to give you a copy of it for your birthday. And the rest... it's a genre film. It alludes to many films from Memories of Murder to The Crow by Clouzot or The Conspiration of Silence by Sturgeon, for example, which is it's more closely related to, I believe. I'm not too sure. I'm a good viewer of noir films, and I like novels of noir films. So it's full of references that I don't even know. He made me see Bullet, so therefore there's something there. I don't know. Hi. Congratulations for the film, Alberto. I liked it very much. I thought it was quite realistic. What happened at that time, and unfortunately what happens at the present moment. My question is for the actors, Nerea, Antonio, Raúl, Jesús. How did you document yourselves, investigate your roles in the film, and what was the scene that was most difficult to carry out or to portray because they were very difficult and crude moments or raw moments? Hi, I'll start. Good morning, everyone. For me, Rocío was a challenge, and I was quite a long way away from me. And excuse me, but I was a bit scared shitless because of people around me. I admired all of my colleagues in the cast, but all of the other actors. But the truth is that kind of woman, a mother who's a struggler, who's a fighter, she risks things and she's very courageous, but who's also weak and fragile, like a piece of glass. I could see her looking at the eyes of my mother. I've had marvelous parents, and they've helped me, and they've shown me a lot. And I think actors, we create as of what we know from our own experience and what we see in the way people the way people look at us. The first time I met Alberto before the rehearsals, the first thing he showed me were the photos of teenager, and I was able to. There was a photo of two girls, in this document. I had it on the mobile and my iPad. I followed it. I took them everywhere with me, these photos. And I looked at them because the way they looked were incredible. And there's a lady, a mother, who was quite impressive the way she looked at. I think it reflects in the way those people looked what they have lived in their lives in that period of time. And then it was everything, basically. At an artistic level, everything accompanied me at the house where Antonio and I were, in the house of the parents. It was just spectacular. You saw the girls in every corner of the house. So therefore, from that point of view, from knowing that there can't be anything more painful than your children being molested or killed, and there's nothing more painful than this. And I dedicate this to all of those mothers that we've all met at some time, mothers of this nature, mothers who are very courageous, And from the inside of a house and behind a door, they fight and they make a life and a family to give a better future for their children. Someone had risen there, lifted their hand? Yes or no? On the third line there, third row there, someone has raised their hand. Hi, good morning. Congratulations, Alberto. Congratulations. I think that we can see in the atmosphere that here there are Goyas in this film, perhaps. So you're starting up very well. The remarks in Madrid have been very positive. I would like to ask you, how are you living this prior time to the Goyas, and how you confront a great year such as 2015? It's the first day of the festival. Let's relax. Okay. We're here at the present moment, and what I'm happy with is the way, what I'm feeling that you are the only people that have seen the film so far, have received it, and what you thought of it. The rest, we'll see what happens. There's a long way to go yet. Behind, on the door there in the back. Please, can you raise your hand so that we can give you the microphone? Yeah, pick up the phone as well. Hi. Good morning. I like the film. It's a good film. Technically speaking, the rain that's used and the shots from the air, there's very good car chases. And you talked about the transition of that period of the police and the atmosphere back then. But there are two things that have surprised me that I've mentioned, which is corruption at a police level and judges, and also whether you thought, the director, when you made the film and shot the film, in all of those cases of so many girls that mysteriously have disappeared in this country, that have been tortured, and that their bodies have appeared more or less similar to the way you've addressed in the film, and we've never known anything about them, because it's an issue that the society and the press have forgotten, but at least I and many other people, we continue to remember them, and congratulations for the film. Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias a ti.
Thank you. Yes, when I documented and investigated a lot, we read a lot about many disappearances and crimes of this nature and so on and so forth, mainly because Rafael Cobos and myself, when we wrote the scripts, we need to work with real information, with reality, because others are very difficult to write and to make things believable. But it's not inspired upon any specific case or anything of the nature. It's just absolute fiction. And in that sense, that's how the plot goes. Corruption, as regards corruption, it's a film which, it's a moment in time where many years of dictatorship had gone by, and I think that the police did what they wanted and what they felt like doing, and that's shown in the film, and it's obviously present there. In fact, for example, we had a police advisor that is not here today. Well, he helped him and Javi. And most of the wardrobe is based upon Bernardo's photos that he gave us, who had never seen True Detective either, by the way. And above all, especially in 1980, when you decided to... Because he gave us an album of photos of 1980 when he was in the police force, and he explained quite clearly there were all types of police... officers, corrupt and honest police officers and people... couldn't care less what they were saying, what they've been told from above. But he told her in 1980 they'd wanted to relax things, and all the police would say that things should be done in a much more calm way. The dictator should have been finished. I think he says it in a moment in the film. When we met this man, Javi said, well, I'm going to do a tough cop, and with this size, I'm a big guy. He said, well, he was more True Detective or Gene Hackman, and then all of a sudden when he appeared, he says, yes, I can be a cop, because he was much smaller than Javier, I think, yes, more or less. And he said, well, I can be a cop, and that helped us very much to standardize what a police officer's job is. And Alberto's right when he says that We have to deal with the day-to-day things, routine things of this work and make them much more natural, and this gentleman helped us a lot. For example, one aspect of the film is that when they appeared at the scene of a crime, there's very little to follow, because the truth is there were no DNA analysis, nothing, all the contrary of CSI. And so therefore you got there and you'd see what there was and to try to make sure to find people and witnesses, mainly, or people who are involved one way or another and can tell you the story of what had happened. That's the only way of finding out, would the truth be said, what had happened. And that's what we tried to reflect also in the film. Any further questions? Yes, there's another one there. Why do you think that the noir genre film in Spain works so well? Grupo Siete worked very well, for example. Urbizu's film, there are many recent Spanish productions of thrillers and the thriller genre that have worked quite well from the critics and they've received awards and the audiences like them. I'm not too sure we're going through a black period or a noir period in here that we're living through at the present moment. No, it's true, it's quite probably. I think noir literature talks about the dark side of society, the dirtiest side of society, and in a moment of an economic crisis, perhaps, is more noticeable, and it comes to the surface a bit more, possibly because of this. And I think that partially due to colleagues that have made films like Urbizu and so on forth, because we're not afraid of confronting it straight on and head on, and to use genre as a tool to tell a story. I think that's also the case as well. Yes, could you just wait, please, on the right? Yes, hi, good morning. My question is for Raul. Congratulations for the character. I loved it, and I like those little gestures of not being able to tolerate the seeing the dead bodies, having a hard time. That's the human side of the cop who's not drinking when he's working. I love that, and I think that the story with the journalist, they doesn't leave the press. I'm not too sure whether any person who worked in El Caso newspaper at that time, it seems unthought of to bring out photos of tortured bodies of adolescents in the newspaper. But how did you work on that side of the character? That is to say, has to confront a reality that it's very difficult for him to tolerate. And also the story, the background story. I like those little nuances. I know it was a script or working with the director. Could you talk about that a bit more? No, that forms part of the script, of course. Yes, well, the good luck is that we rehearsed for 1 month. This is not normally, it's like a theater, it's like a play. And I'd never done this before. We rehearsed it enormously. And Alberto, we arrived to the set and we could shoot any of the parts of the script, and there was a great concern, Alberto. It formed part of the script, and we were worried that these characters could show the human side without falling into little details of telling their stories or to talk about, to not enter into the personal side of things, but we wanted to see those that little background of their lives. The good thing about this is we see them as being human beings. It's not the good cop or the bad cop, but they have these little details that make them much more human. And I think how fine Alberto is and how fine he's done things to tell this without it being over-evident. Antonio, you're going to say something. Why don't you say something, Antonio? See, you're sucking up to the director a bit much. We'll say a bit more. Yes, please. The question is for Jesus. In this, I can't see you. I'm over here. Okay. In this news, now you're more well known in this, and in this film, you feel backed up by these professionals. Have they given you any advice? Have you felt? How did you get along with your co-actors? That's what I mean. And another question. First, that question. Well, the group taking me in very well. The cast from top to bottom. I've enjoyed myself with my second experience in filmmaking. It's been a pleasure to shoot with this fantastic cast of people. Any advice? Did they give you any advice? He gave us advice. We didn't. To enjoy what I'm doing every scene as if it was the last one, and that's what I did. And plus, he came, and the first day, he said, Jesus, go there. That's all he shot. Way out there, and he walked over there, and then, and we'll do this, because we had to shoot when Javier is following him. And everything we shot at the beginning, we were here, and he was about 200 meters away. And following him on the motorbike, and he adapted himself very well to everything. And the second question is for Antonio. These scenes, when you find out about the death of the daughters and you hit yourself against the door, did you hurt yourself really? Or was that, why do you ask that? You hit your head against the door. No, she's a friend of mine. I said, well, listen, ask me a question. I'm going to have to now talk about, she's asked me a question. Well, I told her to ask me this question, okay? Yes, we'd agreed upon you asking me this question. Yes, I had a little accident where hitting my head against the door. Nerea healed me. I cut my head a little bit in one of these. And Alberto said, no, don't do it, don't do it. No, I said, yes, this has got to be realistic, Alberto. This has got to be realistic. And that's why I hit my head against the door, and I hurt myself. I cut my forehead. And Nadia says, no, I'm a nurse. Well, I said, well, that's fantastic. So Nadia put a Band-Aid on. And I can say that this made the characters fly along, and this can be shown, this is noticed in the film. Now, the truth is that he cut his forehead, but really opened his forehead very much. He hit the door moved, and he hit he said, why not make it a bit more realistic? No, it was a joke. Things that happen. Oh, perhaps I'm a bit rough at times, I don't know. Okay, or hard-headed. Hi, congratulations. Thank you very much for making us enjoy ourselves. It's an excellent start to the festival for a Spanish film. I would like to ask Alberto that the script is fantastic, and as an audience, I would like to continue to see even more. The truth is, a series like True Detective, for example, would it be a good idea with the lack of very good scripts that we have nowadays in general, or that quite possibly appear on the screens? Have you addressed making a spin-off of several characters that you want to find out more about? Because the truth is, there's a lot in this script and this story. No, it finishes here and that's it. No, don't worry. Well, it's a pity. I've got no more to say about this story. Well, the truth is, it's a pity. But perhaps there'd be a good TV series here. Who knows? Okay, thank you very much. Alberto, over here. I would like to ask you a question. Congratulations for the film. I would like to ask you about how you chose the cast, the actors. Some are well known with that you worked with before. I would like to know whether as a director you write thinking about the actors. And on the other hand, how did you choose the two policemen, the actors that portray the policemen? Because there may be not chemistry and they may not work. And in this case, how did you choose these two actors and then other actors like Jesus? Which is, it's his second film, and you give an important role on Nerea, for example. I think she's Galician, from Galicia, and she make her in a Guadalquivir area with a southern accent. How did you do that? Well, the answer is a bit long, but I'll try to make it quick. Try to be short. And the leading actors, Marina and Leonor Serrano, who are the casting directors, chose them. And the truth is, they're all proposed by both of them. We have been working, I think this is the fourth film that we've done together. And they know me very well, and the truth is, I have blind faith in whatever they have to say, not only in the makeup of these characters, which are very important, but also of all of the actors, those small actors that say very few lines. That mini world, for example, this has been proposed by them. In the case of Nerea, they showed me a DVD and I said, well, this girl's fantastic, but she's Galician, from Galicia and the northwest of Spain. I said, well, think about it, because the issue is she could be Galician and she lives there. She could be Galician and she lives there. Then I thought about, well, it's true. And in fact, the story became even worse, because this is what we'd created, is Antonio had had done the military service in El Ferrol in Galicia, and he met her and they got married, and he drew her into that area in the middle of the marshlands in the world where her husband just moved from one side of the river to the other. Albeit this isn't, it worked, but even though it's not seen in the film. In the case of Antonio, we'd just done Grupo Siete and we liked the experience, and albeit there was a short role, he said, no, no problem. I'm very happy with the idea of playing that role. And Raul and Javi, the cast directors, it's not the first time that it happens that we're going to make a film and they propose an actor that is not similar to what I'd thought about in my head, or not only physically, but the actor's qualities. But I have blind faith in what my casting directors have to say. And the first working session that we had, well, you could see that, and amongst them they worked together. There was chemistry, not as the actors, but as human beings. And I knew I was going to achieve the chemistry that they have at the end of the film. And then the second question, they're in the film because they work a lot. They work a lot. And Jesus, I met him with Danny, with Ed Monzon, before Danny shot El Niño, because he was rehearsing El Niño close to my place. And we had a beer with Jesus Carroza, the other Jesus. And that's where we met. And then we couldn't find Kini, the actor, the character, because we needed a specific. Yolanda Ebmeba said, hey, why don't you ask Jesus Castro? And I thought the idea was fantastic. But well, we had to come to an agreement with El Niño and so on and so forth. But there was no problem. No, not at all. All the contrary. Alberto, I would like to ask you about the settings on location. I don't think where is Doñana, the Doñana Park, or where was it? Was that already in the script from the outset? Did you think about shooting it in on location there? And whether you thought about a translation like the colleague said about that world of the deep south of the United States to transfer it here in Spain? The codes of the so-called South and Deep South thriller, because of the strange things in life, the main influence of the film are photos that Nadia was talking about of Natina Young, a civilian photographer who, at the beginning of the 90s, took photos of the marshlands there. And it's an in-depth portrait of the end of a lifestyle, people that were stuck in the marshlands who had to who went to subsequently to live in bigger towns. That's how it came from. At the beginning, I wasn't even thinking of American films that were located in marshlands, because the truth is that's the way it is. So therefore, I think it seems much more similar to that, or people think it's very similar because you have that cinematographic background of marshland films. By the Guadalquivir is an enormous film that river that you can sail on, and it appears in the film. And the marshlands are a mysterious part of the country. It's enormous, which takes in part of Sevilla, Cadiz, and Huelva. So therefore, it's enormous. It's very extensive. And the final town where we were staying, which is the Isla Mayor, it's a town that when it finishes, that's the end of the road. And then rice paddies, 30,000 something hectares of rice paddies, and the Doñana hunting area, but in the Coto you can't shoot. We shot in a specific area which is pre-park, because it's a national park which is where they do fishing, and it's a fish nursery. So there, it's a fishery. So therefore, we shot on one side of the river, up river, down river, Carmona, for example, because we shot in Carmona. I don't know, all over the place in that area. Hi, can you hear me? Yes. Congratulations for the film. I would like to ask Alberto, how do you see the situation of new directors in Spanish cinema, and whether the choice of making a noir genre film, the idea is to have a distribution which is much more on an international level to seek and achieve a much easier distribution at an international level? No. No. As I write the scripts with Raphael, also the stories come to us more than than any premeditation on our behalf. That's stemmed from the documentary and the photos, and we didn't even think about what the distribution of the film was going to have in the future. We just simply thought that we wanted to make the best film possible, and that's it. And what was your first question? How do I see the situation of new directors? What I'm seeing is that the situation of cinema is very delicate in general, not because of the new directors, but the old and those that have been here for all their lives working. We'll require a bit more support, I think. Hi. Alberto, you mentioned before that the film finishes here, that you're not thinking about any spin-offs at all. Raúl Arévalo, have you thought in your character beyond the end? Because the way you look at each other at the end of the film made me think that his character will end up becoming corrupt or forgetting about anything and becoming dishonest. I'm not too sure. Javier Gutiérrez is not here, so therefore I would like to ask him that question. I'm not too sure whether you know that he's thought beyond the end of the film. Well, anyone can think anyone what they want because it's up to them. I'm not too sure. I could have thought about it. I think at the end, and there are not good or bad guys. They're human beings, and you can understand the reaction, you share it or not. But at the end, it's a character that I don't think he's corrupt. I think he's a guy that has achieved what he wanted, not in the way he wanted to initially, and as of there, he will enjoy his life. It seems that a priori seems to be look good and positive. In the beginning, you might think that the end doesn't justify the means, but it's very open. But it's very open. I think it's quite open. It's very open, I think. He just said that because at the end, that's not the ending. More or less, that's the ending. Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. That's the end of the press conference.